In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday, Brian.
Happy Friday, Brett.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I'm a tech reporter. My favorite Halloween candy is Skittles, the original flavor, of course.
And I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer. And my favorite Halloween candy is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Although Reese's Pieces are pretty cool, too.
They're not too bad.
Reese's anything.
Yeah, definitely. Co-host Kelly Lawler is sick today. We wish her well. Godspeed. Hope you get better soon. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you'd like to listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could write a quick review or rate the show. By doing that, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a special bonus, we will give you a shout out on our next episode. So try it. Tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward. It's all upside for you. It's totally worth it, and we love your feedback. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can also send an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com.
He is a killer, but he will be killed tonight. Happy Halloween, Michael.
I think you know what that creepy music means. Michael Myers is back, and he is not pleased. 40 years after John Carpenter's original Halloween forever changed the slasher movie, a new sequel is in theaters today, and it brings the masked psycho back to suburban Haddonfield, Illinois, with a return matchup against the babysitter who thwarted his killing spree back in the day, Laurie Strode, who you know as Jamie Lee Curtis, who is awesome. This Halloween, it's the 11th overall. I can't believe we're at 11. It's such a big deal. We're bringing back one of our favorite guests to talk about it, Scott Wampler, news editor for the site Birth Movies Death. Scott, thanks for being here.
Yes, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into this reboot.
No, it's not a reboot. It is a direct sequel.
This is true. It's sort of a rebootquel, I think.
A rebootquel. Do you remember the first time seeing Halloween?
I do, actually. I remember picking up Night of the Living Dead and Halloween and maybe The Shining around the same time on VHS for like $5 a piece. And that was, I must have been maybe 14 years old.
So what was it about that first experience that stuck with you?
Not much, honestly. I'm not really much of a slasher guy, and I don't think I was even then. I don't think that I was a huge fan of it on first viewing. It took me sort of maturing and understanding the various flavors of horror before I got more into it.
So now we have this direct sequel that's out in theaters today. Brian, let's start with you. What did you think?
I liked it a lot. I mean, it's still not anywhere near kind of the original 1978 John Carpenter flick, but you know, the thing about the Halloween franchise is, like you said, I mean, this is the 11th one, and we've gone through, like, there were 6 movies in the original timeline, I guess you'd say. And then there was, like, Halloween H2O and Halloween Resurrection, where they brought Jamie Lee Curtis back. And they were kind of their own things. And then there was the 2-movie Rob Zombie reboot that was, like, ridiculously gory and kind of weird and dark. And now, like, what they're doing is they're getting rid of every other sequel, just kind of wiping it off of canon and just having this as the official, you know, for right now, the official, like, sequel to the original 78 film. So in regards to that, I think it's really kind of cool because it streamlines everything. It gets rid of nieces and rando other family members and cults and curses and all kinds of other weird stuff that's happened over the time and just gotten back to, like, Michael Myers as a murdering machine and who's come back and, you know, wants to kill the girl who got away. From a movie fan standpoint, it's a lot simpler and it's a lot better because of that.
Scott, what did you think?
I liked it. I didn't love it. I kind of feel left out seeing some of the other reactions to it, like that that I didn't love it as much, but I just thought it was like a really well-made meat and potatoes slasher movie. You know, it does a couple of things that I haven't seen before out of that franchise. There's a great sequence midway through the movie that's sort of like a one take thing that is really, to me, the selling point of the entire thing. I liked that it was funny. I wasn't expecting it to be that funny. But also it felt sort of, it's still a slasher movie. It's still hitting all those same beats. It doesn't really do, it doesn't take a turn. I think the movie harmed itself a little bit by being so secretive while it was in production and leading up to the release of the first trailer. I think it, at least in my mind, it created this idea that maybe there was a twist to this one, and there really isn't. It's just a straight up slasher movie. It's a well-made one, but if you're not like super into slasher movies, you might wonder like, what's the big deal?
So just looking at the trailers, the thing that struck me was Jamie Lee Curtis had this transformation that almost felt like Linda Hamilton from Terminator to Terminator 2, where she went from this kind of innocent victim or almost victim to, you know, she realized she has to defend herself and she becomes more of a badass. Is that the impression you get from Halloween to this direct sequel, Brian, from what you saw? What was her role like going from that?
The movie's interestingly a low-key look at, like, tragedy in America. One of the kids makes a comment where it's just like, only five people died in the original Halloween night in Haddonfield. That's not even that much at this point in modern times. You know, when a mass killing happens, it's just like dozens of people. It's not just five. So, you know, kind of, so it looks at, like, tragedy in an interesting way, and kind of Laurie's at the center of it because she spent 40 years preparing for Michael to come back. She's twice divorced. She had her kid taken away at 12. Her daughter's still estranged from her. She's kind of close with her granddaughter, but her granddaughter even tells her to get over it. But she can't. I mean, it's just like she has been forever altered by this one kind of night in her life. Everything's been changed because of this one night meeting Michael Myers. She's been waiting for him to come back because she needs it to get to move on. She needs to have, you know, kind of this throwdown.
So, Scott, what did you think of Jamie Lee Curtis reprising this role?
She's great in it. She's the best thing in it, probably. And it's just great to see her in a movie again, I thought. You know, I hadn't seen her in a while. She's got such a great screen presence. I think she totally sells the badass role, although that's not something we should be surprised by. She's always been a badass. She's charismatic in it, even when she's kind of playing a broke down version of Laurie Strode that she's not really good in a social setting, as you'll see in the movie. I was happy to see her come back. I kind of feel like they already played this card with H2O. So the main hook of the movie, which should have been seeing Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis on screen together again, sort of loses some of its punch, but it's still undeniably great to see her, you know, whooping Michael Myers' ass up and down the screen.
As far as Michael Myers himself, I mean, does he still seem scary? I mean, obviously in the late 70s, he was, you know, frightening, but we've had a lot of happen in the horror genre since then. Scott, does he still seem scary to you?
I've never been particularly scared by Michael Myers. I will say there are some good scares in this movie, though. I'm more of a psychological horror guy, or you don't see it very often, but like a cosmic horror thing. You know, I like whenever a movie will bring that to it, that unknowability. Myers has a little bit of that, but he's still a guy in a mask with a knife. So I don't find the character scary. I think it's all how you engineer the movie. And I think that this movie has some legitimately great scares, and it earns its jump scares. I'll say that.
What did you think of the scares in the movie?
Like, Scott, I think I'm probably more into like psychological horror, like And It Follows or Hereditary at this point in my life.
Right, right.
Because I find that much more kind of like so unnerving than like some guy with a knife running around. And I was never a Michael guy. I mean, I was always a Freddy kid. You know, that was my jam, like Nightmare on Elm Street films. Friday the 13th was fine. I think, you know, I saw Halloween when I was like Scott, probably as a teenager. I was watching like Nightmare on Elm Street films when I was way too young to be watching those. But it was because it was when they came out. Like, you know, the first Halloween came out in 78 and I was two. But like the first, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street came out like right when I was a kid, you know, and I could sneak around and stuff. And they were coming out on Errol's Video and stuff. So I could see it right then. Halloween I didn't get to till later. So, and by that point, I'm just like, okay, it's a guy in a William Shatner mask. right? You know, okay, whatever. But I think what they do well with him, what they continue to do well with him, is you don't know if he's like a dude or just like a demon. They, you know, kind of, he, you know, he can really take a punch. He can take a car running over him. You know, there's a lot of like weird demonic things happening. Like, you know, some podcaster comes to the asylum, holds up his mask, and like everybody around, the dogs and like other inmates and everything, they just start freaking out at the sight of the mask. So you're like, oh, this thing is like the source of all evil or whatever. But then he's just like, he is kind of a middle-aged dude running around in a mask, you know, very slow, very plodding, you know, just knives a person, crushes a guy's skull. You know, so there's like, there's a human aspect to him, but also the kind of the supernatural aspect. But it's the human aspect that's kind of scary, because like, if it's just an evil guy, then you're like, okay, well, it's supernatural. There's nothing we can do about this. But the fact that if it's a dude just kind of running around doing it, it's a lot scarier.
I'm sorry. Could I interject something right quick?
Yeah, go.
I just want to point out that in the outline for this episode that you sent me, that last question you asked was phrased as, can Michael Myers still get it? And I thought this portion of the conversation was going to go much differently. I thought we were about to launch into a tangent about whether or not Michael Myers was daddy. And that's why I thought I had been brought here today.
I did that for you, Scott.
He still got it. So were there other characters or scenes or anything that jumped out to you beyond just the dynamic of Laurie and Michael kind of at odds?
There's a part that Scott mentioned where you see him go through the town on a little killing spree, and it's really well done. I think it's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
I really liked kind of the babysitter parts. There's a sequence where like there's a babysitter, you know, and this kid. The kid's hilarious. The kid's probably the funniest thing in the entire movie. And like there's a whole sequence with them where you're just like, you know, Michael's hiding. Michael's you know, kind of like Michael's doing this thing where you just don't know where he's going to be at any time. Those were kind of my favorite moments. I did like the ending too, but kind of the fact of like getting out of like kind of the Laurie versus Michael of it all and just being like, you know, this dude's like raising hell in a town that's just not prepared for him.
Scott, what about you? Anything else jump out in the movie beyond just Laurie and Michael?
No, I think between what I said earlier and what Brian just said, I think that covers it. I did like all the stuff with the babysitter and the kid. I love the one take thing. There's also a scene where Myers is sort of stalking a guy through a backyard that's lit by motion sensor lights. That's a great sequence.
Beyond just generally not being a huge fan of slasher films, was there anything specific you thought this movie could have done better that would have maybe made it a better experience for you?
I was having a conversation with my associate, Evan Sadoff, yesterday on Slack. We were talking about what we liked about the new Halloween and what we didn't. And he pointed out that it would have been really cool if Myers started up on a killing spree in a completely different town and Laurie tracked him to that town to kill him, rather than him coming back to Haddonfield, which sort of undoes the idea that he's just evil and going after whoever he sees. I think that would have been a really cool angle to take with this. There's a sequence about two-thirds of the way through the movie where it seems like it's about to take a turn and then it doesn't. And I thought I didn't really care for that part of it.
Exactly. I know the moment he's talking about exactly. And I thought it was going to take that turn because I got excited when that happened.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, they really are going to do some weird here. And then they don't really. It wraps up very quickly.
Yeah, totally. There's a beginning's kind of interesting because it doesn't feel like a slasher movie. Two podcasters come to the asylum to go interview Michael to figure out why he is the way he is. And so that's kind of different. That's something we haven't seen before. But then they could have done something more than that. Like Scott said, I think they always go back to like, Michael's got to come back to the old house, to the old neighborhood and raise hell. Where it's just like, if he would have gone somewhere else, I think it would have been kind of cool.
The concept of a guy with a knife, it wasn't meant to support a dozen movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's very true. So, Scott, where would you rank this among all the other Halloween films out there, even though apparently they want to make the 78 film and this just the canon and nothing else? How would you rate everything we've seen Halloween-wise?
I really like the original. I really like 2. I probably like this one the third best. And then after that, I like 3, and the other ones are all just a blur. I couldn't tell them apart with a gun in my head.
Brian, what about you?
I'm kind of where he is. Again, I've watched them all like in a row because I hadn't seen like 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 ever. until like recently. And so they kind of do all kind of run together. But I feel well, like
except for three. Three's like the real weird one.
Well, see, yeah, three. I wasn't expecting three. I didn't know like three was like, and I probably should know this because I like, you know, this is my entertainment beat or something.
Oh, but, you didn't
like, no. And I'm just like,
oh, that must have been great.
It was. I was like, where's Michael? Why are they having a jingle? You know, it's like it was really kind of strange, but kind of cool in a weird way too. The movie's not very good, but I like how they kind of like just go off on a very weird direction. 78 film by far, like number one by a lot. This is probably two. And then there again, there's a steep drop off. And then I'd say four. They dig into the family bloodline a little bit because they introduce him having a niece and then niece kind of having a little bit of like Michael in her. But then they ruin it in five. I did like three. Because it is kind of so kind of different. And six is like a guilty pleasure because it's bonkers.
You know, something neither of us mentioned just now is the zombie ones, which are not very good. I straight up dislike the second one.
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah.
Admire the second one for just how bananas it is. Like the dream sequences with Myers' mom and a white horse. Like it's such nonsense. But, you know, at least... I mean, I'll give him credit for trying to do something interesting with it, I guess. It's like the first one was pretty much straight up. And then on the second one, they were like, you know, kind of gave him carte blanche to do whatever he wanted. And well, you know, he did something weird that no one liked. But, you know, it was still swinging for the fences. I got to give respect to that.
Yeah, it takes some chutzpah to like go and be like, I'm going to go remake John Carpenter's classic. And then like, and then really redo it. Really dark and it's like, overly brutal, but I feel like there's some stuff that he does with Michael's backstory in the first one, digging it out, you know, really digging into it. It's more than just kind of like in the first one, it's just like he's a 6-year-old kid, kills his sister, and then like, you know, flash forward, and you know, we really don't understand why he just did what he did. But they dig into some of the backstory into it in an interesting way before getting to like the slash happy like stuff we've seen later on.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of these characters like a Jason and a Freddy get brought back from, you know, the grave, pun intended. In the 2000s, we had a lot of those Jason movies and we had some Nightmare stuff kind of redone. Between what we've seen with Halloween and then Friday the 13th and then Nightmare, who do you think has had the best comeback?
Brian, you go first.
No one?
If you had to pick one.
I mean, I think.
Can we count Leatherface in this?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll count Leatherface.
Yes.
Okay. Because I really like the Chainsaw remake that Platinum Dunes did. I know that's an unpopular opinion. But again, with any slasher movie, I'm not precious about the mythology or any of that. But I felt like that one in particular sort of was getting at the mean-spiritedness and the brutality and cruelty that that Zombie brought to the new Halloween movies without going over a line where it was just so unpleasant you didn't want to watch it, which is kind of where I was at on some of the zombie stuff. I thought the new Chainsaw was really interesting. The Nightmare one sucked, and Friday the 13th was all right, but it was also kind of forgettable. And they felt like they were trying to do too much with that one. But I really like the Chainsaw one. This is a pretty good version of a reboot or whatever you want to call it, a rebuquel or whatever. Yeah, those other the Freddy and Jason ones I didn't like. What I'm really worried about is they're gonna start around with Hellraiser, and then I'm gonna have to start taking some of this stuff personally.
Horror's kind of a weird genre though, because a lot of bringing these characters back is difficult because a lot of the concepts always seem dated. Like what scared people 30 years ago is going to scare people now. And you think of all the movies now that are popular in horror and they are way different than what we were used to growing up with, like the Friday the 13th and other stuff. I think that's part of why I guess for you, they don't work. It's like it doesn't feel like it works in 2018, what would have worked in the 80s and 90s and stuff like that.
Right.
Even as a kid, I mean, I liked Freddy because it was made for a teenage boy.
Right.
It was really punny. Now, like, everything's everywhere. So you look at The Witch compared to this, and she's like, The Witch will, like, you know, will freak you out and put you under a bed for, like, a week. These things won't. They just aren't scary when you compare them to, like, real life or, like, you know, things like Hereditary or It Follows. Things that are, like, they will get in you and like never leave.
You know, have you seen Terrified yet?
No, and I want to because I saw that. It was like, it's the scariest movie ever. I'm like, boom, you sold me. All you have to do is say that.
It's wild. That one's definitely worth seeking out. If you've got Shudder, definitely look it up. Yeah. It's crazy.
But Black Phillip's better than all of them. You know, Black Phillip is greater than Jason, Freddy, and, you know, Michael, all of them combined.
I agree.
If for some reason we get another movie in this.
And we're going to.
Okay.
Oh, you're getting another movie.
Okay, we'll start.
Probably a TV show, too.
Oh, boy.
It'll be announced midway through next week, I bet.
We'll start with Scott. What would you want to see from a follow-up if they do one, what would you want to see from it?
Oh, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I don't want to see another one. like especially with how this one ends, I kind of see how they might keep it going, and I absolutely don't want to see that. That's what this movie should have been. They're saying this movie is going to make $65 million this weekend. That would make it the second highest horror opening of all time, behind only last year's It. Of course they're going to make another one. I would just point out that the slasher genre burn itself out by flooding the market and basically giving people the same thing every time. This movie is a real well-made version of a slasher movie, but just making another one is going to start that, you know, that downward slide back to these movies being, you know, the same old stuff. I wish they would leave well enough alone. I don't really want to see another one. I think they should end it with this.
Brian, would you want another Halloween movie? And if so, what would you want from it?
I mean, no one asked me. So, I feel like we are going to get one, whether I like it or not. But they got to get it. I mean, I think this was, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's return as Laurie Strode. Let's move on, though. Move on to another town.
It's just Myers in a town with a bunch of other teenagers. Like, who could possibly give a at this point?
They're going to go down the road of the bloodline again, I feel like. Again, I like this one a lot, but I don't want to see another one. Or I don't know what I'd want to see.
I want to change my answer. I would watch a version where Michael decides he's seen the error of his ways. He goes to a new town. He decides to get a small-time job or, you know, just like working in a Target or something and trying to reform himself and be better. I would watch 90 minutes of that for sure.
Yeah.
Just Michael Myers working customer service. That's what I want to say.
Walmart greeter.
Yeah.
Is that possibly scarier than an actual Halloween film?
Maybe.
Oh,
could be.
I think that gets back to the issue overall with these films, though, is that, yeah, well, Scott hinted at this already, but it's like there's only so many ways you can do guy with knife is chasing people around before you run out of ideas. And that's why I'm surprised it's going to make so much. I mean, I'm not surprised in that it's a franchise that people know, but I'm also surprised because I felt like there's a reason they stopped making them after a while because it was just kind of the same thing over and over again.
Right.
I think this generation didn't grow up with them. It's new to them to a certain degree, I think. But they'll get tired of it. They'll get tired of it quickly.
Well, yeah, this generation, like, mostly, I would say, grew up with, like, the torture porn genre.
Yeah, Saw and everything, yeah.
You know, there was, like, an irony horror that came in with Scream, and then it was torture porn. Before all of that, it was slashers. So the slasher stands a chance of being new again. And, you know, I think that combined with Jamie Lee Curtis coming back, which is an admittedly big deal, I think that's what's driving a lot of the curiosity. Plus the fact that they, you know, played their cards real close to the vest. We didn't know much about this movie until, you know, just a few months ago.
All right, listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the new Halloween? Are you looking forward to seeing Michael Myers again? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I am at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And Scott, your Twitter handle is?
At Scott Wampler, BMD. Please do not at me.
Don't forget, you can email as well. At mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about leaving us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast, and we love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you'll find us. That'll do it. Until next Friday, nerds out.
Later.